Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come inside, come inside. It's live from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.com's weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells, your host. You can find me on Twitter at FellsGate. We are not live this week.
Yeah, we're still live from the Five Hole, but we're not as live as we were.
Well, yeah, we're not as live as we were, but we're still somewhat live.
But if that's why we can call it Live from the Five Hole live when we do it.
When we do it. We are, of course, in fatal four-way formation, as we need to be from here on out in 2024. So I am joined by the usual crew, leading off with Dr. Viral. He is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business. He is the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch stream every Monday night at 9 p.m. Central. And he's the world's leading king shamer. It's Andrew Cieslak.
I'll be enjoying some of Michigan's finest weed while we record this show. So
did you, or before
right now
did you save a bundle?
It's so cheap, but we didn't stop on the way out and grab a bunch, which was a mistake, but that's okay.
Yeah, last time I went in there, I was with three guys, and I'm pretty, like, if we had been stopped in Indiana, we would have been caught with weight. That's how much my friends bought.
You can find Slack on Twitter and Blue Sky at Torque Penderline. You've heard his dulcet tones. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor. He's Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. You can find Matt on Blue Sky at Matt McClure. You can find him on Twitter at Matt_McClure_, but please don't. And last but not least, he is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park, and he is wandering around his house every week to make sure he sounds the best for you, our listener. He's Fifth Feather John.
You know what else I'm doing, though, Sam?
I'd really rather not. No.
After 3 minutes and 33 seconds of footage, I am pounding the table for Ian Wheeler.
What are you pounding the table with?
My fist.
Okay.
Or Wean Eeler.
Wean Eeler. For somebody that I didn't even know existed prior to that.
I had no idea he existed until last night.
He's on the team. He's on the team for next year.
He's on the team for next year. You can find
pounding that table, Sam.
You can find John on various social medias at Fifth Feather, though he won't find you. All right, I'm just
John's
turning the door.
John's on paternity leave from social media.
John's on paternity leave. Yeah. I'm just opening the door for Bears, for Hard Knocks thoughts from the crew. I am just a facilitator. John, I want you to know, for the second consecutive week during the opening credits, I still giggled. Not just because they're so awesome, but because I knew that you would not be attacking various producers in Lake Forest.
They understood the assignment.
They understood the assignment, going out there with your shield and spear.
They're all staying, I guarantee you, they're all staying at the extended stay right there at 94 and half day.
But anyway, take it away, boys. John, Slack, whoever wants to start, go ahead.
No, I mean, Sam, I would agree with the Facenda's little opening thing there is just, it's pure magic.
Honestly, the Bears should use it before they take the field. It's so
what took them so long to figure that out?
Right, like you are the charter franchise of this league. You need John Facenda announcing you onto the field. What are we doing here?
It's like the orchard at the United Center.
Yeah, exactly.
I would just say it was another solid week of Hard Knocks. I enjoyed every second of it. Other than the fact that the Max app did not work, they didn't have the episode up in time.
Yeah,
and I don't know.
We could have gone live anyway. So
right,
you're right. So wait a minute, John. Don't you have YouTube TV?
I do, but not. I don't have a Max or HBO subscription through my YouTube. I just have the Max app.
They automatically connect. It's the same price to do it.
Well,
yeah, switch that over. You don't need to deal with this stuff. You're better than this.
You can sign up for Max through YouTube TV for the same cost, and then it's on your thing.
All right. Well, I'm also going to stand a foot away from the jugs machine and have it just blast footballs at my face, too, while I'm doing it.
I hope that you do.
I enjoyed this opening. So I'm watching it. I'm doing my live notebook right now. So I have the episode running in the background as we're chatting.
But you already watched it once.
This will be the third time.
Okay.
I really appreciated the fact that they went to Rosa's of the blues bar, of all the blues bars they could have picked in the city. They picked one on the west side. It's also the place I went to when the Cubs won the pennant because I didn't want to see anybody. I just wanted to be in a miserable place.
Why didn't you stay home?
Well, because I was already out for dinner. We had
reservations,
Sam.
Yeah,
but thank you. But yeah, I enjoyed the vibe.
You were trying to avoid white people, and Roses is a place to do it.
Mm-hmm. But no, the vibes and juice in this episode were great. Well, there was, I don't know if people were complaining about it. I try not to see what other people's reactions were to it, other than this text group.
Were people complaining? I don't know.
People were complaining last week.
I've got mild complaints.
I've got mild complaints too, but
sure,
I still enjoyed it.
See, here's like if I were a neutral, if I weren't dipped in Bear's meatball gravy.
Is that au jus?
Yes. This has got nothing for you, but like, and it like it's got minimal like whatever because from 10 to 2 every day I'm listening to Dan and Lawrence like sitting at my desk. So like I'm not learning anything new, but like seeing the fun stuff is fun. It's not just a clip.
I haven't again, as I said last week and when the announcement was in, I haven't watched Hard Knocks in a very long time. I am assuming that most recent Hard Knocks don't have anything for you unless you're a fan of the team or you're a true sicko.
Why we haven't watched, right?
Yeah,
like, right.
And the Giants apparently didn't get any kind of PR message control memo either. So coming off of them showing their ass in the offseason one.
What an ass.
Eyes
of that
like
thing.
Baloney with pimples on it. This is very, very controlled. And even though all of us, for the most part, checked out on Saturday after the ones got out, like George basically told Slack's guy, Adam Amin, and our Jim Miller that they didn't really want to do it, but they're doing it. And they're utilizing every bit of line item veto that they've got. And that is very clear.
It certainly felt like that to me watching it. I enjoyed it, but I found this episode to be rather on the dull side. I don't know if they had stories they wanted to do over the 2 weeks.
That press conference with Jalen Johnson, I heard it multiple times on 670, and that was bordering on profane tirade. And they didn't even, not only did they not show the whole thing, that like they didn't even go so far as to bleep out the swear words, let alone show them on premium television. You know,
yeah,
that's how fucking weird and Catholic the McCaskies are, is they didn't even want that in there.
Yeah, I thought the stuff with Velus Jones was kind of down the middle. Like, okay, yeah, he's fighting for a roster spot. You kind of left out the fact that he's a third round pick. He's been here 3 years. They kind of just make him out to be the same.
No mention of Nate Davis and the coach basically saying, hey, get your ass in gear.
Yeah, so yeah, I just thought it was a little milquetoast. You know, there's a story they obviously want to tell with Caleb Williams, but they didn't really do that so much. I thought the stuff with Jalen Johnson and Keenan was good. I liked that. That was fun. But yeah,
DJ Moore's family is adorable. His daughter looks exactly
his family.
Like him.
So is Keenan Allen's family. It felt a little like
also
paint by numbers.
Mama Rome, hello.
Paint by numbers, Hard Knocks, but that's what I was expecting, so I didn't find it terribly disappointing.
That's just because you're not an astute observer of human behavior.
John. Okay, well then, tell me what I missed.
Something is off here. I feel like there's just a huge disconnect from.
I found it fascinating. The parts
infinitely fascinating, Terry Bors.
Yes, I found it fascinating. The beginning part when they're prepping for Buffalo. In the team meetings, obviously they're not going to show you the full, you know, 3 hour block or whatever. But I found it fascinating that Poles turns to Shane Waldron and says, what's your plan for 18? And Shane kind of explains how they're going to prep him for the week and this and that. I also found it interesting that Eberflus was asking his staff, what's the plan for Rome? I think so that's interesting insight for people to
the delineation of authority.
Exactly. Is to see how an NFL coaching staff actually works. I think there's people that are still in the Ditka era mindset where everything just runs through the coach. It's the coach making all the decisions and the assistants are just delegating his orders to everybody. Yeah. Or they find it very, you know, militaristic where it's just, you know, the coach and the GM are deciding everything and everybody else is just following along. I found that part really cool. I also found the part when they were sitting in with the director of research and analysis and they're going through the family tree of the head official for the Buffalo game.
You mean Nick Saban?
Yeah. No, it wasn't Nick Saban.
I know. They're going through the official tree.
Get that blowhole off my TV.
They're going through the referee tree, the referee's family tree.
Yeah, I haven't given that background.
The only thing that I felt was missing from that was, okay, well, then show me then later Caleb on the field talking to that official.
Showing
how he's cultivating that relationship. Now, maybe that didn't happen, but
I hadn't really thought about it taking 2 to 3 seasons to cycle through.
Yeah, neither did I. I found that fascinating as well.
I don't know. Do teams work NFL refs the way you work like hockey refs or baseball
clearly,
or basketball?
They do. If they're going in and finding out what this guy does in his full-time job and telling you his family history and everything else, I think they're working. Everybody's working the angles that way.
Yeah. How's your daughter? Whatever. Oh,
right.
But then, you know, college. John, you're right. When you get to the game footage, show me Eberflus and Caleb doing that.
Right. But maybe that didn't exist, or maybe George cut it. I doubt that, but
I doubt George would even know to cut that.
I'm kidding.
Honestly. I don't think George is sitting there in the editing room. I think that's probably delegated to PR and other reps.
Flex guy Kevin Warren is in the editing room.
He's got the headphones on. He's in the bay. He's rolling the knobs and doing everything.
Stop it right here.
Slack, if you would take a break from rolling your knobs and tell us what you think Matt and I are missing.
Pumping my tits. I enjoyed that it was and I've said this a few times, so it's a theme with me on this program. We're in the middle of being able to talk about the Bears positively and enjoyably, and that might not last. And
might
so
last 2 more weeks.
Look what happens. Look what's happening. Starters
don't play on Saturday.
If the pall of Final Destination doesn't hit Bears camp like it has Vikings camp.
My ass bleeds.
Reaper walking around with a scythe just taking people out one by one. I thought it was just an hour of extremely good vibes about everybody that we care about for the most part. Like, I don't care about Nate Davis. I don't want him on TV. He's a bum. but you do a nice little the loose versus the undrafted guy, which Sam, yes, anybody who's watched football knows that the guy who was picked in a draft is going to make the team unless he's hurt. You know, that's just how it is.
If you were producing this without any oversight or interference, that is the story you would tell. Does Ryan Pace have the gas to cut his first draft pick?
Well, hopefully Ryan Pace can do whatever he wants. He doesn't work here anymore.
I'm sorry, Ryan Pulse. I'm on my third spot.
You may be putting a little bit too much weight, Sam, on a third round pick.
But that's the story that you tell in Hard Knocks. It's not, you know, that's what they always get into.
It's been so long since I've seen it. I feel like they would only do that in the past. I'm trying to remember. I'm going back, you know, Hard Knocks 2010 or whatever, when Dwayne Bowe was the first round pick. That was like they had the full emphasis on him. You know, a third round pick in his third season. I don't know.
The third season thing is a factor, I think, John. I agree with you there. But I also think you've got an ongoing position battle with two guys from very different backgrounds.
Yeah.
You got fucking, I don't want to say, I guess Cosby's a bad reference now. We can't do that anymore. But you got a real smart, like, you know, dude and Ian Wheeler, and they're like, yeah, he could go be a doctor, but he's chosen to play football, and he looks good in practice. He has a fun back and forth with
looks great
the running backs
in practice
coach, but then they put him in the game, and all of a sudden they had all this B roll or A roll of whatever it was. And look what happened. He scores two touchdowns. That's a Vilas scored a touchdown. Like that's a well told story for a position battle, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, like it's other than like it's the second level, right? Your top level is Caleb Williams, number one pick, all that goes with it. And then here's your bottom of the roster battle. And it's, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, I'm going around the team in my head. It's kind of one of the few, right?
I'll put you back to the title of the show. It's Hard Knocks, which is like, I think it's meant to focus on how hard it is to make this your career and keep it.
Yeah.
Not as much like, let's see what the best player on earth is doing. And that could be any one of your players because all of them are incredible. But no, I think it depends on which lens you're approaching the show from. And I think, I don't know, maybe you're looking for something else.
I'm not overly trying to be that critical. It's just like, if this is the position battle you want to focus on, and it clearly it is, and it's interesting. I mean, like the running back
room. It's going to last one more week at least, so at least they know they can go back to it.
The running back room is already, without these two guys, is already really crowded.
Well, notice they didn't spend a lot of time talking about Colin Johnson this week.
Right.
Because he's not going to make the team, no matter what.
Like, if this Keenan Allen already told you.
Yes. You're like, Keenan Allen already made it clear.
I listened to Keenan Allen.
If this is the position battle you're going to focus on, okay, well then I'm just saying like, hey, well then let's focus on it. Here we have this undrafted smart dude going up against a guy who is a third round pick. Yes, it's his third season.
Overager.
And overager. But part of the story is, okay, is Ryan Poles going to cut this guy for this guy?
Speaking of overager, the Velus. Sound his voice, he makes him sound like he's 57 years old.
Yeah,
and has been smoking Newports since he's been 16.
And maybe he has been.
He is impressed with Caleb, though.
Yes, it was the first line of the show, I think.
Who amongst us?
He said that he looks different.
Yep.
And I agree.
I can't decide if I want to interject it here or wait till the Hard Knocks discussion is over, but I'm going to go ahead and interject.
Let's do it.
Just a quick sidebar. We'll get back to Hard Knocks. Am I or any other Bears fan allowed to get Spilkes if they don't play their starters this week like they did last year? Because this team was not ready to play last year.
Well, this goes into...
Well, Brad Biggs already told you that they shouldn't play because Minnesota...
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I was just gonna say this is a segue into John's torch for Brad.
Wait, John, who was it you were yelling at about this?
Brad Biggs.
Okay, because Patrick Finley.
Okay.
In the Sun Times.
Yeah.
Wrote the same thing.
He's a penis too.
Yeah. And I read it on the toilet, and I was in a rage on the toilet.
Did you rage crap because of it?
Of course. I mean, I always kind of rage crap, but like that, reading that burns my ass while I'm on the toilet, but like, I couldn't believe it. It's like, why should the Bears care who you are comparing this to? It doesn't matter. All I care about and all anyone should care about is, are they getting the right amount of preparation? And we saw last year when they claimed the joint practices were enough. Now, again, that's Justin Fields and this is Caleb Williams. They're two different guys, and I get that. But are we allowed to be a little nervous if they decide, oh, no, this is enough work, when we have a coach here who did not have his team ready to play at the beginning of last season?
I
agree with you, John. Let me be clear. Biggs and Finley writing about, oh, you got to play him because otherwise they're going to be compared to these. Who gives a shit?
When you say starters, are you talking offense or all starters?
I'm mostly talking about Caleb Williams and the offensive starters.
Okay, because I will say that I realize Justin Fields didn't play well in game one, but the defense was horrible.
The defense was terrible too, but like, I'm not worried about Montez Sweat not showing up on week one. He's a veteran. He knows what it
needs. Whose name has not even been mentioned once in...
Well, he's not out there.
He just returned to like work or whatever.
And like, even the guys who weren't ready to play on defense last year, they've been around another year. I feel like I wouldn't be okay with it. I want them on the field. I want them taking reps, even if it's just another quarter. But like, are we allowed to get Spilkes if they say, you know what, joint practices were enough, we're just going to throw Patrick Reed and his weird parents out there for two quarters?
The honorary C-Slack parents.
The honorary, like, they know he's not making the team, right?
No, they don't know. They should know, but they don't know.
They don't know. Now I'm bouncing back and forth between just Bears thoughts and Hard Knocks thoughts.
No, Sam, I think the Spilkus for me would lie in the fact that Biggs and Finley are saying that the Bears should bench these guys now after, you know, every year since that, every year prior, they've been saying, well, why aren't you playing them in the preseason?
Right.
But because J.J. McCarthy got hurt,
and it's like, well, that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, well, that's what everybody's been saying.
Yeah, that's insane. That's what
people also, J.J. McCarthy was saying his knee hurt before the game.
Yes.
And they threw him out there.
Well, they had the Blackhawks old trainer out there. That
right, they noomed his newts, and then they sent him out there. With the old fifth feather sight, they put an ice bag on his head, and then they sent him out there. Like, it's football. Guys get hurt. Like, I understand, but, like, I don't want to wrap a guy in cotton wool and then leave him unprepared for what he's going to see in week one. Like, he.
So, is this an actual thing now that people are talking about, that the Bears aren't going to play their starters in this?
It's been up for debate.
Well, because no one can fucking figure it out that they've only gone to three preseason games now when it
comes. Right. And there's the 2 week break. This is the other thing. Like, I could. If you wanted to argue, hey, we want to pull it back this week, but we want to do the full, like, three quarters in the last preseason game because we don't want our guy taking 3 weeks off before live reps, I got some patience for that. I can't remember what they did in the third preseason game last year, but I don't feel like Fields played a half or three quarters in the last.
It was a whole lot of teabag.
So if that's what they want to do, I'd have more patience for that, but I kind of just want Caleb getting a reasonable amount of live reps before we go to the regular season here. Even if he just, again, if it's just two or three series like it was against Buffalo, fine. I'm with you. But then he's got to do like the dress rehearsal against Kansas City. Otherwise, you know, again, despite his beard and haircut, we're still talking about a guy who did not have this team ready to play last year. And until he does, I'm always going to be distrustful of the fact that he can do it this year. Am I wrong? Am I being unreasonable?
Not at all.
I don't think so. I think maybe you're jumping the gun a little.
Well, that's what I do, John.
All or to a satisfactory level. I think they'll play, especially the offense. I think still too much that Shane and the boys need to iron out.
Yeah, that's my fault, too.
Before week one against Tennessee. Defensively, I could see them, obviously, you know, Montez. I think that they're fine with him just getting prepped for the season and being ready to go week one. Jalen will probably play for a series or two, and that's it. I can't imagine that they'll put him out there too much.
I mean, they already have some guys who are a little banged up on the defensive side. They've got a lot of guys missing practice. So I can see on that side being careful.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to do anything that's going to linger. But again, like, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, I think preseason football is stupid, but it should only be two games, and it soon will be, I'm sure. But yeah, I don't know. I like, again, I'm not buying into the gloss up cool guy look until he proves that he can have this team ready and he can beat a quarterback that's good.
Can we circle back to, speaking of Shane and the boys, how...
Matt, it's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
Well, I'm just asking permission because I'm not any kind of football authority here.
No, none of us are, which is why anyone listens to this is a mystery.
But I just appreciated the fact that in those two series, there were a lot of half-field-leveled reads, rollouts. God damn, I can only imagine how thrilled my old man was with all those fucking bootlegs. But that it only took two series for Shane Waldron to show that Luke Getsy's an asshole.
Correct.
Correct. That has me excited.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the third and 12 pass, I feel like, was just the simple connection to DJ Moore was like, oh, that's legal? How many times did we say last year?
That pass was as impressive as the one to come out on the run because they're looking for that. Like the defense is set up to stop you from throwing a third and 12.
That was
And he's like, no. I'm just gonna laser this in here. I don't care.
Yeah, well, it was very encouraging.
the other thing with all the bootlegs that I enjoyed is that it also kind of sticks a middle finger up to Hub and all those other bootlickers that can't wait to tell you that, oh, well, you don't want to do bootlegs because they're just half-field reads. Well, meanwhile, every other team does them, and they have no problems completing passes and getting first downs.
But and the Bears don't want to DJ do it because
the team
Allen
will eventually stop you.
Pick. And DeAndre Swift.
It's just refreshing to see it.
I'm sure we'll get more.
I just hope it does
later too.
I just hope it continues on into the regular season, that it's not just something that they did for the preseason. Nevertheless, it was fun to watch and also displayed that yes, defense, even if you just do half field reads, defenses have a hard time stopping you if your guys are open and your quarterback knows where to put the ball.
It's the goddamnedest thing.
Crazy. It's crazy, isn't it?
I swear to God, I'll have an epileptic seizure if I see a slant on like 3rd and 6.
You'll be teabag hearing Caleb's signing bonus.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll be visited by the Holy Ghost.
I know he hasn't like spoken in this episode or this series much. I think my patience for teabag is running low.
Well, again, Rippon's played with Shane and in the McVay tree, and I'm leaning more towards that than whatever the hell T-Bag's got to offer.
Poll question. If the Bears were to promote Rippon over T-Bag, what percentage of callers to the score would be furious?
Well, because only Mully and Haw take calls. 98%.
I'm glad the other shows don't take calls because there's no point.
Yeah, but also the catch 22 is Brett Rippon also becomes the most popular player in the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he looked good in the Hall of Fame game, Sam. So he's already they're already pounding the table.
I mean, look,
and he's got a pure bloodline too.
The backup QB plays. Caleb's a small guy. He likes to run. He's mobile. Probably gonna get hurt.
He got in way more than we were led to believe on the live Fox broadcast. First throw, he got fucking impaled and late too.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And even the guy at the Bills was like, yeah, "Throw that away."
Yeah, right. Throw that away, son.
whoever that like late breaking linebacker who was charged with spying him was.
Yeah,
46
I will say,
or 47 was like, gotta get rid of that.
What you did pick up from at least the first teamers who were mic'd is how big of a joke the first teamers think exhibition football is. They're just shooting the shit.
You've got DJ Moore turning into Andrew Shaw out there. I love football.
Yeah, hopefully not in the other way.
Yeah, hopefully not. I think DJ Moore's... It's not a very high bar to clear, but I think DJ Moore is probably a lot smarter than Andrew Shaw.
Yeah.
Kudos to DJ Moore, by the way, for being very polite on what sounded like extremely gross hot dog ice cream.
I would try it.
I'd try it, but I would expect for it to not be great.
Also, I didn't know the Museum of Ice Cream existed. I don't spend a lot of time in McClurg Court, which is where it looked like it was.
You haven't watched the famous video about a weekend in Chicago, then? That's the only reason I know it.
Is it some viral influencer bullshit?
Yep.
Yes, but it's a joke and it's funny.
Okay, I will look for it.
Did we notice we noticed one part of the Hard Knocks. Matt pointed out in the group text, and to pull back the curtain for the kids, the one offensive room which was decorated like a. Like every basement, probably in Cook County,
DuPage too.
DuPage, yep. Miller Lite, neon sign,
Chicago
some
flag,
random Chicago flag, and a picture of Larry Borum. I don't know if anybody else noticed, but the Connor O'Malley-esque PowerPoint that was up on the screen when the Canadian guy was talking. It's a picture of a female Bills fan. Shotgunning a beer, and in like to the right of it is just like the most basic PowerPoint of the text Bills week 2 preseason game 2 or something.
I
so
did not
check that
know.
Out, kids. When
I was surprised the Canadian guy made another appearance. I assumed they were shipping him back to Manitoba on that golf
Well, that's
cart.
What how they look like. But apparently they got him back.
He's still around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought he was going to the glue factory for sure.
And for God's sakes, DJ, tell your daughter who the Bumblebees was from. If it's all she wants to know. He kept looking at her like, I don't know what she's saying.
I mean, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, he probably didn't even watch the movie with her, but she's, you know.
Have you seen the movie?
If.
It's that awful. Is
no,
it,
I know what if is. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Okay.
No, I haven't seen
but
it.
I thought you were a big Ryan Reynolds guy.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Your lady does the voice of that Bumblebee, I found out.
My lady?
Yeah, Fleabag.
Oh, yeah, she is. I'd move mountains for her.
We know.
Yeah, and also, by the way, we've got 2 weeks straight of diaper content. Hard Knocks is diaped up in 2024 between the diaped dogs of Simone Biles and Jonathan Owens, and then John's guy, Ian Wheeler, the running backs.
Running like he got a diaper on.
Yeah, what was the running backs coach's name? Chad Morton.
All right, John, you got some coaching experience. And it's hard for you. I'm sure it's hard for you to imagine what it's like to be in the football scenario.
You know, but coaching bantam hockey or NFL players.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But if you're Ian and you bust a run in practice and you look over your left shoulder and your running back's coach is sprinting after you, do you get excited by that? Like, oh, this guy, if I do something good, he will support me even though he's been yelling at me. Or are you just like, this guy is fucking nuts?
I think, yeah. And I think Ian Wheeler's probably a little probably inexperienced to realize the crazy yet. So he's just probably like, well, this
I don't
is,
know.
This
I think when you see your running backs coach trying to track you down on a run,
and he's already played, he's already played D1 too. Like, you know, he's not coming into it. And like,
yeah, but
he just seems like a smart, like, very understated young man that is just trying to do this, and if this doesn't work out, then he's got a genius plan.
He's got his priorities straight. He's got it all in perspective. I just thought, like, man, if I just like busted a nice run and like I feel like I'm making progress, I might make this team. I look over my left shoulder and like my running backs coach is sprinting after me like he's trying to chase me down.
Who's been busting my balls and asking him?
I just don't feel like
they're diaped up.
I don't feel like there's any level I connect with this guy on. My job to run. You watch. You don't have to run.
This is a question for Andrew.
Uh-oh.
Always, please.
Am I crazy from getting the vibes from Mama Rome that she cannot wait to bust toss the quarterback at the first bad play?
Yeah, receiver's mom is not much different than receiver brain, right?
Okay. I mean,
yeah. He's from Utah.
They're used to it. Like, what would you do?
When you're not in control of it, like, you got to blame
somebody. I would be the same way. I would call every quarterback in the world that fucked up throws to my kid a piece of shit.
All right, good. But I'm not crazy, Sam.
See? I mean, he got one throw. Well, he got two throws, and one was the I shouldn't have thrown that, and the other one was the out of bounds in the end zone throw.
Yeah.
So John, what you're saying is you want to introduce Mama Rome and Mama Seth Jones.
I think they would get along quite nicely, Sam. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
No,
they're both going to block me on Twitter.
Does she have a Twitter account?
I have no idea. I haven't checked, but Seth Jones' mom definitely blocked me on Twitter, although I worked hard for that block.
Yeah, you earned that.
Not as hard as Andrew's been working to get blocked by Hub.
Well, Slack even tried to kill him.
He's given up on me.
He must be heartbroken.
Literally.
He beat me to it. God damn it.
Okay, so Rome Odunze's mom is a real estate agent in Vegas.
Yes, she is.
In case anyone wants to work with her, I've got her cold.
He's from Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's true.
No, when he was on the other day with Dan and Lawrence, they asked him, like, they were giving him pointers on, like, you know, where to go in the city to get a good bite to eat or whatever. and they asked him for where off the beaten path in Vegas do they want to go when they've got to go out for some remote or whatever in a couple
weeks. What'd he say?
I didn't pay attention. He said some kind of ramshackle casino off the strip.
Well, the Thai place we went to off the strip was out of this world. So that would be my recommendation.
Well, you know what he's already told it on air. Bernstein is very much in love with bringing it back to football. Little daughter Marinelli's Italian place out in the out in the foothills it's actually supposed to be phenomenal, though. I've looked up the website and it does look awesome.
All right, are those our Hard Knocks thoughts? Bears thoughts?
No, I think
okay, keep going.
Daniel Johnson stuff.
Fleck, you lead off the next point.
Yeah. We didn't talk about the Keenan Allen stuff, the Jalen Johnson stuff, that little battle.
Well, I said I liked that. That was like my favorite part of the episode.
Well, that's not talking about it.
Okay.
John, what else are we missing here?
The honorary CSLAC parents right. up in the stands. They got the Gary Penis experience in one.
They day. Did.
They
did.
They were introduced to Gary Penis immediately. And,
oh yeah, Gary Penis Jr.
Yep, Gary Penis Jr. completely fucking over their son in its completion, and then also Sean McDermott challenging the play, which Austin did not care for one bit.
He's like, "What are they doing? It's fourth quarter of an exhibition game."
Yeah. And then I thought Austin Reed and Cole Kmet talking about Love Island was similar to it felt the same way, because I have no idea what they were talking about, to when Matt and Andrew talk about Top Chef.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was like a couple weeks ago listening to my mother and sister-in-law talking about Married at First Sight Australia. They like They like the Australian version, not the American version, because they're way filthier on the Aussie.
I like that. That's good. That's good analysis right there.
Can we get back to the honorary CSLACs for a second?
Yes, of course. Sure. We love them.
They're a lot nicer than the real CSLACs, just so you
yeah, know. I'm sure they are. Austin Reed. I keep calling him Patrick Reed because I don't know any different.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. So he said in the episode that his parents have been to every game he played except for like one.
Or two, yeah.
He went to Western Kentucky.
Okay. Yeah, the Hilltoppers.
He's from Florida.
Okay.
They make that drive every week.
Not that long.
Well, what conference are they in?
Yeah, we're talking about...
I don't know.
A handful of drives. And it's not every week.
They're going to road games too.
Sure. You go to your kids' games. That's fine. That's normal.
If he's a starting quarterback for the college team, of course.
All right. Producing
he's
on
from
the fly
St. Augustine,
here.
Right? Is that where he's from? St. Augustine?
St. Augustine, Florida.
So that's on the east side.
That's too. America's first town, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
It's where the youngest men alive are from.
That makes sense. Jesus Christ. He threw
for
8,000 yards.
They're in Conference USA.
I didn't even know Conference USA was still a thing.
It's been the Pac-12.
Wasn't Northern in Conference USA when,
no.
when Brad was there?
No. It's a MAC school.
All right. So what do we got here? We got Middle Tennessee, Troy, Louisiana Tech, Jackson State.
It's Jackson State. I could see that drive. Like, yeah, but like
they got kicked in the dicks by Ohio State in an out of conference game last year, 63-10.
See, you can skip that one. Like, you don't need to drive to Columbus to watch your son get absolutely flattened.
Mauled. Yeah.
Oh yes, you do.
UTEP, Liberty, South Florida.
UTEP. That's probably the one they skipped.
Nobody wants to go down there. New Mexico State.
I'd say no one wants to go to El Paso, but my Wisconsin fan friend did go to El Paso for the Sun Bowl one year.
They did play in the Bahamas Bowl. They're going to that one. They're going to
Florida. Oh, well, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
One in a barn burner, too. 38-35 and OT. That's got to be the absolute highlight of the...
Sidebar. I want to ask Slack and John this, and this is a totally random sidebar, but I just thought of it. After I got done fuming about Patrick Finley's article in the Sun-Times, I read the article about how the Northwestern players are really excited about their new on-the-lake temporary stadium. What do John and Slack think of this?
Let them play in the lake.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they're playing Illinois at Wrigley. Illinois won't get to go there.
Fifth feather Herb over here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, no, it's going to be a real advantage for us. It's going to be great. You know, no, like they're like, oh, yeah, the big schools wouldn't do this, but we'll do it. It's like, well, do you hear it? Can you hear what you just said?
No, they can't hear anything that they say. They're just in love with their voice.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the Bears.
They're going to be all of our bosses, Sam.
I mean,
that's what keeps them.
I'm too old, but yeah, maybe.
The other thing with the honorary C-Slack, so back to them. Mm-hmm. Another part that I enjoyed when they first cut to them, you could tell that his pappy was making small talk with the people by them, and then all of a sudden said, "Okay, I got to stop talking to you because my son's about to go on the field."
Yeah.
Because he literally said, like, okay, my son's out there now. And so it was like wrapping up whatever bullshit conversation he was having with the people next to him for 3.5 quarters.
That's why Andrew's dad got so mad at him, because Andrew wouldn't wrap up his side conversations.
I just left.
Andrew just got drunk and left.
Oh, my God.
With the Osmond family.
I it's a cute story. They're there. I get why they're doing it, but it's just like, you kind of just want to be like, he's not gonna make the team.
Well, you would.
I don't even think practice squad is.
I completely agree with Andrew that they are clearly clueless because they can't see past their own son.
Right.
Like they'll can't see past their own son's greatness. Can't imagine that anybody's even better than him. The difference between him and Caleb is pretty much negligible in their eyes. But on the other hand, it's like, come on, how can you not?
I mean, I don't, yeah, right, like, I don't, like, I obviously cannot understand the delusion or just the way being a parent would cloud your view of reality. But, like, I don't know. I feel like if I were them, just seeing my son in NFL gear, you know, just seeing him with the Bears helmet and uniform on and just be like, okay, well, that's awesome.
Truly,
like,
know their thought process. Yes.
No,
that's,
I mean,
what they're doing. Maybe that's,
I think,
why
John's projecting. If that's what they were doing, Matt, I think Papa Reed would be drunk as shit.
Yeah, he was stone sober, right? I mean,
yeah. You're right. Like, well, locked in, well, and like, and they're just.
And we know for sure that the Buffalo fans that were out of frame there were definitely not stone sober.
No, but there weren't that many of them. The stadium was fucking empty. Like even those who were super drunk.
They had
like
Sabres prospect camp to go to.
Right. Well, like, if you're going to a Bills preseason game, okay, it's probably because it's the only game you can get tickets to. The tickets probably aren't that expensive. You're good, especially because it's at noon or 1. You're going to make a day of it. By the time Austin Reed gets out there, you're out of the stadium and puking in the parking lot.
Half the people there, the Buffalo fans there, were, they wanted to see Caleb too.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'll always have a soft spot for Buffalo and their fans. I guess
I'm sure
they'd be my second team if I had to have such a thing, which isn't real and doesn't exist. So I don't actually have one, but
it's not their fault, but the whole new Bills Stadium upsets me.
And we got to see the bones of it too in the background of that one shot. So they were a stand up organization for your brother then?
I don't know. I enjoyed it. I don't know. I don't know if they were stand up org or not. I mean, obviously they cut him.
He was drunk in the Superdome for free.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that your end goal as Austin Reed is basically just to put film out there so you can get your next job until you find an opportunity.
NFL Europe, is that still a thing?
Stop it. Don't be silly. There's going to be quarterback openings everywhere. So if you impress and the Bears are saying, well, we got Brett and Teabag and we don't got room for you, there could be, you know, up in Minnesota where they're literally looking for anybody now. You know, he could find
they're
a spot there.
Trading for Derek Carr.
Honestly, if he goes to Minnesota, he might start a game.
There you go.
Wouldn't that be beautiful?
So sorry about the Vikings. That just, oh God, make breaks my heart.
It's just so painful to see Drew McGarry crying as a 48-year-old man on social media. I hadn't heard. Did you guys know that he had a stroke? I hadn't heard.
John, let's clear out your yellow pad. What's left?
I think that's it. I've been watching the show live, like I said, and
you haven't been watching the show live
as live as Max will allow you to.
My third watch. I'm sorry, Sam. The only other thing too that I wanted to say was I wish, since we were saying about things that we wish the show captured during the pregame of Buffalo, there's a point where Eberflus is, you know, doing something on the sidelines, and the camera catches Mercedes hugging Caleb. And obviously saying something to him, I would have been interested to hear what he was saying. He was, I think, obviously trying to pump him up and,
coach him up.
And I think that would have been cool to hear, since Mercedes is obviously a, 23-year veteran or whatever it is.
Is he the oldest player in the league now?
By like open lengths.
Yeah. I can't imagine there's anybody that's been around longer than him.
All right, Slack, final Bears thoughts.
Austin Booker thoughts.
Yeah,
Austin Booker. Too skinny.
You're writing him off?
No, he's good, but I think to be an impact player.
Yeah, I'm
especially in the wake of the trade of Matthew Judon, and the Bears were allegedly in on
that. Austin Booker is my guy. And Sam's Booker, but I don't want to get
big hands.
I don't want to get carried away by preseason games, because we've seen this before. I'm encouraged.
I don't think we see it that often. How many guys get 3 sacks in their first game? 2.5.
It's not an every year occurrence, but you see second, third stringers flash.
That was Steve Buschel's kid, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Was Steve it Buschel's really?
Kid. Yes.
Well, fuck him.
But John's right. He's a little light in the ass, and I don't want to go. I don't want to start counting on him to be a major contributor until we see it. Like, I feel like against real first string NFL tackles, he might be running into some creamy noogie, to quote Lomas Brown. But I'm encouraged. Like, I think he has a real chance to be really good in the future. I just don't know where that future is, but it's good.
The best we can hope for is a Mark Anderson like figure.
Oh, we think we can hope for higher than that, but
Mark Anderson's rookie year, but not his whole career, please.
As the text thread, which is the real show, none of us were all that heartbroken that the Bears did not acquire Judon. 32,
not at that price.
Needing a new deal, 2 picks. No, because you're not. The Falcons think they're on the cusp. They're not. But the Bears.
Ryan Pace, delusional? Never.
Ryan Poles, I think, has a pretty good handle on where this team is. And yes, they were in it, but when they say, like, oh, it came down to the Bears and Falcons, we have no idea how much the Falcons offer might have blown the Bears out of the water.
Hassan Reddick's only 29, for the record.
It'd take a lot of money. And the Bears' money doesn't matter for another 5 years.
29 isn't that young.
It's not that young.
It's not young. It's not that old either. It's younger than fucking what's his name? Than
you know who could use him?
Ngakoue.
The Jets. Stupid fucking idiots. I don't know. I mean, that you guys mentioned it, but you have maybe 1 year with Piss Boy as your quarterback to put a run together. So what are you doing? Right. Pissing this guy off.
Just sign this guy.
Just pay him. It doesn't matter. Hey, what do you care? Doesn't matter. And Aaron Rodgers isn't going to survive the season anyway.
This reminds me of something I wanted to discuss. Obviously, one of the main themes for the Bears camp has been who's going to start, who's going to play opposite Sweat, and what the future plan is there. But, you know, Montez Sweat is not a kid either. How many years do you think you have of Sweat as like a dominating force? He's 28.
27. He will be 28 in a couple weeks.
You know, you might only have two seasons of that.
I don't know, Sam. Edge guys can play pretty well.
Javon Curse played until 30s. He was 67 years old.
That's right, Javon, my friend.
And Javon Curse is also a Hall of Famer.
Is he?
I'm pretty sure.
I think
he should be.
Julius Peppers obviously is.
He's in the Hall of Fame guys I thought were awesome. That's for goddamn sure.
Edge guys have a longer shelf life. I wouldn't be too worried about.
Jesus, Javon Curse is 47
years. How many years they have left?
No, not in the Hall of Fame.
Not in the Hall of Fame, really? Everyone gets into the NFL Hall of Fame.
Only 74 career sacks.
Montez could be productive into his mid to late 30s.
That's overshooting it, don't you think?
Slack no, back mid-30s? 32? You're saying that he couldn't be as good as
32 is not mid-30s. 34 is mid-30s.
Yeah, there you go. Same thing.
Same thing.
I think that's a little optimistic, John.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility if he stays healthy. For a guy of that size and stature to still be good into his 30s, to be an edge guy. I mean, if you're an edge guy, you're just running off of the edge.
Yes, I know what an edge guy is.
Spinning off guys. So it's not, and then a lot of times as they get older, they're only out there for passing situations mostly anyways. So that's, you know, you're not going to get rolled up on.
A guy like Sweat, you want out there. That was like their thing. They want him out there 75%, 80% of the snaps because he could only play last year like 60.
Of course, he's not going to be the same guy he is at 27 as he is at 33 or 34, but he could still be a productive player at that age and somebody that the offense has to account for. But you can't forget about him out there. Otherwise, he'll get your ass.
Can't turn your back on Holly, dude.
Mm-mm.
Get your ass.
Get your ass.
No, I think Montez has at least what did they give him the extension for? 3-4 years?
I don't want to think about football contracts.
No, they don't make any sense. I don't understand them.
So even when by the time his contract rolls over or ends, he's going to be 31, 32, then you reassess it. Who cares? Gives a shit. You got Austin Booker coming up. He's the next Max Crosby, Sam. Worried about.
They literally called him a poor man's Max Crosby.
Hopefully without the alcoholism.
Like, I would be – that would piss me off.
He can have the alcoholism as long as he can play. I'm not here to
– that would just upset me. Watching Hard Knocks and they're like, oh, poor man. Fuck off. Like, I'm a poor man. Like, what the hell's wrong with you? I don't know. That would bother me.
Where was Max Crosby drafted? It's ridiculous, by the way, that is like Max with two X's is his birth name.
And he looks like that. So it worked out.
He should have played in the Western Hockey League.
Max Crosby was fourth round, 106th overall. So,
all right. Well, then why is he a poor man's Max Crosby? He's literally Max Crosby.
He's literally Max Crosby.
Like, what are you talking about?
Because he's black. Well,
Max Crosby cleared out your yellow pad?
Max Crosby is also listed at 255 pounds, too, and that is not what Austin Booker is called.
No, Austin Booker is not.
So he's the same height. He's just about 15 pounds lighter. Listed. You can add 15 pounds of muscle in no time. It's called steroids. Do them.
Know where the weights are.
Get on the gear.
Do it now.
Yes.
Okay.
Sue the shit out of Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling.
Austin Booker is going to be a star. That is final.
Black's calling it right here, right now.
Are we one of those baby adoption cases where he's stealing your child from you, Sam?
He can be our guy.
Like the same way you and I gay adopted Darnell Nurse 10 years ago.
Indeed. Yeah. How'd that work out for everybody?
He could still be your guy, but I can still call him your guy in an excited way.
Indeed.
Okay.
Slack, have we cleared out your yellow pad about the Bears? And
yeah, I'm feeling good. My point earlier was that you've got two straight weeks of. I mean, this week I thought double down on the good vibes the team's having right now. Just in general, there's lots of
Oh, the vibes are great.
The vibes are high. It's all competitive spirit.
It's all, you know, feel good. Again, like I said at the outset, the show is all, it's only serving up to preach to the choir for us.
We haven't been preached to our whole lives.
Right. But hang on a second. If you're HBO and you know you're doing this about, quite simply, the biggest fan base in the NFL, that's all you have to do. They're already setting records, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pump our tits, give us vibes, juice, and buzz.
Like, people can play like, oh, God, the Bears on primetime. Why do you think that happens?
Because we live in a real city. Stop complaining.
Right. And largest so captive stupid. Audience in the league.
Check that bingo card.
Anyway. All right. Before we get to the Cretans, I would be remiss if I did not turn the floor over to John. Say goodbye to Peter Griffin.
There's nothing to say goodbye to.
He can't hurt get us upstairs. Anymore.
Yeah, he can't hurt us anymore. Get him upstairs and get him out of here.
Apparently, Mr. Sizemore walked Soto to get to Aaron Judge, who hit a home run immediately.
Of course. Soto
did put three homers on them last night.
So and tonight, too, he did. His first at bat, he put one over the fence.
Bryce.
Got to trade him, though. You can't pay him.
They're just going to let him walk because that one guy thinks they should sign more small players.
You need a more balanced lineup.
Having the greatest hitter of his generation is too much of a burden.
For the Yankees.
We can't do these conversations every offseason. I can't take it anymore.
I just wanted John to whack.
I'm talking about, like, hey, there's an amazing player and nobody wants to pay him. I can't do it anymore.
Well, this is why I'm sick of baseball.
I know.
Back to Peter Griffin. I did find it quite amusing that the White Sox he preached the fundamentals and defense, and within the first week that he's gone, they actually have a defensive right fielder who's making all these catches, who, by the way, was on the team when Peter Griffin was the manager
for next year,
but refused to play him, and they had to send him down to Charlotte because old Pedro had no use for him, even though he represented everything that he wanted, supposedly wanted.
Who, I'd like, John, honestly, this is how out of loop I am. Who are you even talking about?
Dominic Fletcher. He had two unreal catches in right field today. Probably the two best catches that a Sox right fielder has made since Ellis Burks was patrolling.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right field. I was a big Ellis Burks guy. He was awesome.
How could you not be?
Yeah. That's just a professional baseball player, right?
Well,
there.
And that's just another classic.
That is a
White
guy
Sox.
To be remembered.
That is just another classic White Sox lesson where they signed him for 1 year. And he was unbelievable. And they were like, well, we don't have to sign a right fielder. We'll just sign guys on a 1 year deal.
Right.
And they've been doing it for 35 years since. And it's worked out twice in those 35 years. And then the second time, the guy couldn't even play right field by the time he was done with them. He could barely play when he got there.
Who's this?
Jermaine Dye.
He could hit, though.
Of course he could hit, but he didn't want to DH. And they kept putting him out in right
field. But he
was
part of the 2006 team that I still argue was better than the 2005 team.
It was, Sam. John, do you want to hear Ellis Burks' slash line for his lone year at 35th and Shields?
I don't need to because I have it memorized, but say it anyways for the kids.
275, 352, 441 for a 793 OPS.
Which back then...
Not bad.
Not bad.
Hitting between in his prime Frank Thomas and in his prime Robin Ventura.
Probably could have been better then.
Pretty good lineup.
17 homers, 74
ribs. What year was that?
93.
God, it was that long ago.
And then he went to Colorado the next year. Well, it was only 42 games, but he had a 1,000 OPS. And then the next full year.
Well, right.
The next full year in Colorado. On the moon.
Yeah, and that's Mile High Colorado, right? That's not even Coors Field.
Yeah, no, that's Expansion Colorado.
Yeah, like Mile High Stadium with its weird fucking entire.
Ellis Burks had a career 874 OPS.
Ellis Burks was awesome.
Red Sox legend.
Red Sox legend.
A career 126 OPS plus.
Time for the kids.
All right, we don't have a lot this week.
Well, no. No one cares.
And we already addressed the Austin Booker question from Ken Campos here, so. Feldman from across the hall. Has anyone checked any parking lots for Hub after the J.J. McCarthy injury news?
Oh my God, the name, the question, it's too good. It's all a rich tapestry. Which parking lot would he have a coronary in? Would it still be the Hallis Hall one over J.J. McCarthy?
Or in Ann Arbor when he's looking for Harbaugh?
He'd have to be in San Diego or in L.A. at the NFL Network studios where they won't let him on TV.
I think Hub walks out to his local parking lot, whatever that is around here, and keels over.
Or he goes to, where'd JJ go to high school? Nazareth? Where did he go again?
I don't know.
Nazareth, but I can't
don't
remember.
Don't care.
Some private school. He goes out there and he goes out there
to have his coronary.
Yeah, Nazareth and LaGrange.
Private school pervert.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Typical.
We feel bad though. Yeah, we feel terrible about everything in Minnesota.
Our ass bleeds. Sometimes it does.
As Sam mentioned, he complained his knee was hurt before the game.
Yeah, that was the story, right?
Yeah. He was saying my knee is sore before he played. And they're like, all right,
hell, get out there with the twos and threes. I'm sure those linemen
throw up for 200 yards against a bunch of people will be holding a squeegee soon.
Yeah.
Get everyone riled up.
We've got another question here. We've got Brian, new guy, Sour Bummer 5.
I feel like the first guy was a new guy, but
we've heard from Feldman before.
Okay. You say,
yes, we have.
And I feel like we need to do some education here. I feel like Brian needs to go to the re-education camp because he asks, what Chicago championship team would you like to see get the Hard Knocks treatment? The 2015 Chicago Blackhawks were on 24/7 and their equipment manager committed suicide in the middle of filming.
The next day.
Cool.
God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And Joel Quenneville was making his friends suck on a taxidermed deer's asshole.
Oh my God.
God, I blocked out so much of this.
And that doesn't even like scratch the surface
of what was going on in 2015. That, Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah, they had like a 2-minute segment about, oh, here's our equipment guy. Yeah, he's dead.
Also, remember that thing called the lockdown for a year and a half, and they finally aired all the footage that they did, you know, Hard Knocks for the 1998 Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan's last year here, that whole thing that we all watched for, you know, 7 or 8 weeks.
Actually, I just want a 45-minute documentary on Jeremy Colliton's speech from the bathroom. That's all I want.
There's nothing better. You win every award.
Dying his skates. Like, ask every member of the Hawks, like, what did you think when this guy tried to give you the pregame prep talk from the stall?
You could see Taves just staring into the middle distance with murder.
John's thing was that Keith never looked up.
No.
Just kept doing his own thing. Just kept doing his own thing. No respect whatsoever.
No respect whatsoever.
Was he older than Colliton at that point? Like, well, now.
Might have been.
Alive, allegedly, but.
Isn't Collinson an AHL head coach now?
Yeah, he's in the Canucks organization. What a well-run machine that is.
That's going to go well. He'll probably take over soon when that whole Rick Tocchet thing comes crumbling down. All right, let's move on.
And again, another new guy. We always solicit new guys, and we got new guys.
Hey, we're happy. It's encouraging to see new guys. So
it's because of our live from the live five hole.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we're getting all these new guys.
John not only mispronounces names, he mispronounces our own show title.
I did that on purpose.
Hockey Life at Black, and then a bunch of numbers.
This will be good then.
Did Kyle Davidson add too many veterans this offseason?
Yes! we did that show.
I know, but I'm personally, I've got...
Actually, he only added one too many veteran, and his name is TJ Brody.
And Patrick Maroon,
but I feel like Patrick Maroon might be sent to the land of wind and ghosts in November kind of thing where it's like, okay, this guy can't play anymore.
Or ever. No, and well, the T-shirt Brody thing, again, I got my peppers all hot this morning. Can we talk about the sick irony of Stan Bowman, aside from, you know, all the other stuff, where he lived perpetually diaped up about getting offer sheeted.
Right.
That's the first thing that happens.
He nuked the Hawks after 2015 in utter terror of an offer sheet that was never coming.
For Tavo.
And now he's finally on the... Not Tavo, Saad. Saad was the one he was terrified of. That's why they traded him. Like, oh, we can't just go hardball with Saad. Someone's going to offer sheet him. No one would have offer sheeted him. And now he's actually on the receiving end of two of them.
And I would have taken Broberg too. That was my guy.
That is your guy.
I liked his highlight package when he was drafted.
But now Stan can go around and be like, "See, I was right. People always want to offer sheet my players."
Well, that was the thing, though. Did you see what I threw into the Ghoul chat with Maddie Matheson, where they're saying this wouldn't have happened because Doug Armstrong and Ken Holland are such bros that Doug Armstrong's doing this because it's...
God bless the NHL.
Yeah, friendship's more important than building a roster, so I get it.
Uh-oh.
All right, what's next?
That's it?
That's all we got?
That's all we got.
Wait, good news. I found the clip of the 28-year-old's weekend of Chicago in Chicago, and I sent it in the chat here, so you guys can open it up.
Okay, well, good. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Are we... I don't even know. Are we doing the live thing next week after Hard Knocks?
We'll try. We'll see what the schedule dictates.
We're planning on it.
Okay.
Is Max planning on it? That's the question.
They better be. Yeah. There were a lot of angry people last night on Reddit.
This was one of them.
Yep.
The tweets were out of control. People were furious.
John, just fix your Max subscription to be on your YouTube and you'll be fine.
That's too complicated, Sam.
I'll do it for you.
I'm old. I can't.
You're younger than I am.
Yeah, but he's got dad delusion syndrome now.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. No, I fine, Sam. I'll look into it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, for Slack, for Matt, for John, maybe. I'm Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. We will hopefully be back live to recap episode 3 of Hard Knocks next Tuesday at...
Tuesday.
9-ish. It's hard to say when exactly.
Depending on when everyone gets done walking dogs and having cigarettes.
Walking dogs and having smokes and drinking beers. That's our lives. But until then, Top Guys out.